Luke 8, beginning with verse 26. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at his feet. And clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. And those who had seen it told how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all of the people in the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. The title for our sermon today is Proclaiming What the Lord Has Done. In this passage of Scripture, the gospel writer Luke introduces us to this story where Jesus traveled to a distant land. It was a land on the other side of the lake, a land of Gentile people at best, at worst, deeply sinful people. He went to this area, what some would call the Las Vegas of the first century world. And in this region, Jesus went proclaiming and living out the love of the faith. As Mark records this gospel, we didn't share his reading today. We hear this story where Jesus brought restoration to this man possessed by the many demons, Legion. And as the people asked Jesus to leave, to depart from them as the swine had been destroyed, Mark picks that exchange up just a short time later, after Jesus went back to his homeland, that he returned once more. And when he returned, Mark tells us that there was the feeding of the 4,000. The feeding of the 5,000 had already occurred in Galilee. But now, once Jesus returned to this land where the people had asked him to leave, there was such an assembly there to meet him that there were some 4,000 people that come to hear him preach, that come to receive his healing, that come to be in the presence of the Lord. And Mark hints to let us know, where did all these people come from? Where just a few weeks prior, they'd asked him to leave. They'd rejected his ministry. And then when he returns, some 4,000 people greet him, eager to listen and be ministered through his love. Where did they come from? It seems Legion went to work. legion, the one who'd been restored, truly did share what God had done in his life. He became the first evangelist of God's work in this land of his people. Well, you know, as we consider this challenge, this call to faith today, for us to simply embrace in the spirit of legion and share with others what God has done for us. I don't know about you all, but sometimes I think of this call and I say, well, you know, if God would bless me in the spirit of how he blessed Legion, surely I would have the energy and the gratitude to share with everybody around what the Lord has done. But I don't know about you all, but where I get in trouble sometimes, friends, in my faith journey, in my journey for happiness and joy in life, where I get in trouble is that I focus more on what God hasn't done than what God has done. You know, I embrace too much at times the words of the psalmist today in Psalm 42. We began our call to worship with the first verse. But hear what the psalmist says as he speaks of the deer yearning for God like a drink of water. He goes on and says in verse 2 of chapter 42, the psalmist says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And here's his question. He said, when shall I behold the face of God? He's pleading, Lord, when will I see you? And in verse 3, he gets even more direct. The words of the psalmist says this, my tears have become my food day and night, while people say to me continually, where is your God? Haven't we all, if we're honest about our faith journey, raised those questions to heaven? Haven't we all focused at times more upon where God has been absent in our life than where our Lord has been present? We, like the psalmist, indeed, at times find ourselves, oh, Lord, if you would just bless me like you blessed Legion. But, Lord, I find myself in the spirit of the psalmist looking for you to turn your face to me. How long, O God, will I be in this trial and tribulation? But, you know, so often, what we find ourselves, when we focus in what we don't have instead of what we do have, we find ourselves embracing a spirit of discontentment, a lack of contentment. And a lack of contentment oftentimes for me is rooted in a lack of thanksgiving. It's an unwillingness for me to be conscious of how blessed I already am as a child of God. I think of the story of the young man who had just married his wife, and as soon as the marriage had occurred, his father-in-law said to him, he said, now that you are a part of the family, I want to share you in an equal portion of our business. I want to make you a 50-50 partner with me in our corporation. And my thoughts are that we need to start you out on the warehouse floor where you understand how everything functions that goes out to our customers. To this, the son-in-law said, well, you know, I see where you're coming from, but that's really not my thing. And to that, the father-in-law said, okay, well, if you don't want to start on the warehouse floor, how about we start you in the office and we'll let you learn more about the accounting prospects of how we coordinate with our customers and our supply chain. And to that, the son-in-law once again said, well, you know, that's not really my thing either, being stuck in an office all the time. And to this, the father-in-law said, well, what are we to do? You don't want to work in the field, and you don't want to work in the office, and I've just made you a 50-50 partner in this business. And to that, the son-in-law said, well, I guess you could always buy me out. He had a lack of appreciation for what he'd been given. Friends, I don't know about y'all, but where I get in trouble in my faith and where I find joy waning and envy for what others have perhaps, what others are doing around me, and what I yearn for is when I fail to open my eyes and see what God has already done. You see, the psalmist in our text today began with this lament. This lament not only for himself, but for him, his people, saying, Lord, will you turn back to us? But we must hear what the psalmist said in verse 5 too. For he said, never let your hope wane, for God will indeed restore you. Yes, we may go through trials and tribulations. We too may feel like Legion at times in our brokenness, in our bondage, wondering if we will ever be restored. But dear church, may we also hear the words that Price shared with us from Galatians this morning, where Paul said to us this. He proclaimed to us that now before faith came, here's what Paul is saying to us. Before we had faith, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith was revealed to us. But then he jumps down in verse 26 and he says, for in Christ Jesus, you were called children of God. You hear what's happening there? Paul says to us in our brokenness, in our legion state, like the man crippled in his sinfulness, we too are imprisoned. The scriptures tells us that the people would try to hold legion down with shackles and chains. And doesn't our own brokenness do that to us? We too were imprisoned. We were under guard with no hope to escape from our own brokenness. And Almighty God came to us through Jesus Christ, the Savior. He looked upon each of us and said, by simply putting your trust in me, you will no longer be imprisoned like Legion. Dear one, you will even be transformed. Hear this with me, church. Receive it with me. Not simply to be set free from your bondage, but you, dear soul, will become a very child of God, an heir of the Most High, a royal recipient of the bounty that is unending through God's grace. Friends, as we consider today, as we look upon the life of Legion, may we remember and celebrate how God has already gifted us. If we find ourselves filled at times with envy and discontentment and wondering when God will bless us, may we also open our eyes and hearts and minds and see how God has already blessed us now and eternally through His grace. May we grow in that grace daily. And the spirit of Legion, be willing to share in all that we do and say what the Lord has done for us now and forever. Amen. Let's respond in faith today by remembering what it is that we believe.